Aren't you glad there's a king in your life? Aren't you glad he's an eternal king? Aren't you glad that every time you wake up, he's still king? And he's Lord. And he's not only Lord in all things in heaven, he's Lord over all things on the earth and under the earth. So we serve notice today that all of hell, you're subject to the name of Jesus. Every demon, every spirit that's been plaguing and tormenting or chasing or running after you this week, you want to be a God chaser. When he chases away your enemies, you just hang on to his coattail. Because when you speak that name of Jesus, nothing can touch you. And I thank the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness today. Somebody else. Oh, my goodness, we got... You ready?
Yes.
Okay. May I read a scripture first? Just... Okay. Some of you, when you come in, we're running the different ministries and times of the Bible studies and things like that on a revolving thing on the screen. And one of the scriptures that's very important to us is the fact that we are a church that believes very strongly in participation according to the scriptures. And I want to read you the scripture from 1 Corinthians 14:26, and you will see how it is fulfilled every week. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And among all of these things is testimonies, songs, psalms, teaching, maybe, you know, sometimes Barbara shares from her devotional, or Gary, or it can happen to all of us. We all have something to bring, and we're small enough that it works very nicely here. If you had 300 or 400 people, that would be very hard, and you would have to hand pick different ones. So among us every week, this is a freedom that we have, and somebody has said to me, well, isn't it dangerous to let somebody speak if you don't know what they're going to say? I said, always. But if you don't add a little risk to your faith, then why just believe for the easy stuff? You know, this is a place where we're very free in Christ. And I know that Lou has come back from his mission trip and got something to show, and Janice has got a song to sing, and there may be other testimonies. So, Janice, if you're ready, you're wired to go.
Hi, my name is Janice. Do I do anything? Can you hear me? Okay.
Just come out.
Yes.
Okay, that's better. Tell me when. Hello? Testing? Okay. I'm going to sing a song that was on my heart when my mother was real sick before she came to know Jesus up in heaven. And I was mowing the grass one day, and the Lord put the name of the song on my heart, the title and the chorus. And as time went by and I went into a personal relationship with him, because my mother said to me, oh, Janice, you go ahead and study. I know you. You're going to go get another degree or another degree or another degree. And she was right. I went and got more degrees. And but the best book you ever want to study, she said, is the Holy Bible. Well, little to say, is I did graduate from Bible college later. But in the meantime, I said, Lord, gee, I want to finish this song that you put on my heart before you placed my mom where she belongs. And could you just help me finish the rest of it? And so fast forward about 2.5 to 3 weeks later, the Lord birthed this song. Once again, walk to the one that loves you. Walk to the one that loves you. Walk to the one that cares. Walk to these arms that hold you tight, and you will see the light. I once was a child, lost and alone. I searched and searched to find my way home. Then a little turtle nearby, God used to help me home. Oh, walk to the one that loves you. Walk to the one that cares. Walk to these arms that hold you tight, and you will see the light. I am still learning to walk with my Savior. His love is the way and the truth. God's promised to keep me always under His tender care. Oh, walk to the one that loves you. Walk to the one that cares. Walk to these arms that hold you tight, and you will see the light. And you will see the light. Amen.
Hello. Would you like to do your presentation for?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Missions Church, we got to have it, right? We feed on it.
So excited to be here. I got a loud mouth, so I don't need a microphone, I don't think. Everybody hear me okay? Oh, I'm so glad to be back here. You know, I only visited once, and I just felt so much at home the first time I came. And good friends with Tom and Carol and Gary, they brought me here the first time. Just before I went to Africa, I've since come and gone. It was the first trip. Can tell you a little bit about myself. A couple years ago, the Lord gave me an idea. I went on a couple trips to Africa with the local church I've been a part of for like 18 years in Florida. And we showed a movie called The Jesus Film, which is not a Hollywood myth, half-truth. It's based on the Gospel of Luke. You can actually watch it and read the Gospel of Luke. It's almost verbatim. It's awesome. It's scripturally accurate. It's a great evangelistic tool. It's in nearly 1,400 languages. So you don't have to learn Swahili or Brumi or Farsi or Telugu or Greek or Hebrew or any language that it's in. So you can go and travel somewhere and show this movie and bring the gospel. It's a great way to get the gospel. And when I saw the power of this movie, and got in my heart back in 2013, you know, what if I had my own motorcycle? What if I came and I wasn't with a team, I could stay a bit longer and go deeper in the bush, how much more could I do? And you know, I saw the power of bringing, here we have so much available at our fingertips, you know, the technology, we got smartphones. I mean, these phones we have are little computers that, you know, and in some places in third world countries, they don't have much of anything, you know, and I thought, wow, you know, we have so much we can bring there, and that was kind of, God put a little seed in. And then came back from the first time in Africa, and a few weeks later, the year before, 2012, I was in the Philippines, and that was when that big, big storm came, 2013, and God put in my heart to go back, because it was headed towards this, the island when I was in, and I knew that it was the biggest storm ever recorded. I hadn't even cleared customs. I was in New York City, and I look at this big, huge map of this storm bearing down on the islands. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So God did a quick work. And in a couple weeks' time, you know, I mean, my heart was to get a motorcycle and get a projector and go back myself. And, you know, I didn't have months to fundraise. But within 3 weeks, I was in the Philippines. And all of a sudden, God provided this money out of nowhere. And I remember I had more than enough. Or God is more than enough. He's a provider out of nowhere. And I remember I had this pile of money in my hand. I'm like, Lord, you know, can I buy that projector now? And so I had enough to buy the projector as well. So in less than 3 weeks, a part of that vision, I was in the Philippines showing the Jesus film in Cebuano. which is the local language of the Vizcayas, in the southern region where I was, and it was amazing. The first time I showed it was in a small church like this, and seven young kids raised their hands to receive the Lord. And I was like, I was sold. I'm like, this is it. So then I went on, while I was there as well, I went to Pastor Saul's home island. And it's very small. You could walk around in about 20 minutes. And on it was a lighthouse, which was in a mobile sea, and it was for these big ships. You know, as they came, so they would run aground, navigational. And his daddy was the lighthouse keeper, but he was alive, and now his brother was the lighthouse keeper. And it was the old lighthouse, and the new lighthouse was next to him. How can I go up there? Nobody wanted to go up there with me. But they gave me the key to get in, and he walked up inside. As soon as I opened the door, I see this big battery back. I'm like, this is solar powered? So I get up there and see these panels. And what I learned was that this lighthouse could go for 31 days without even having the sun, it would still be powerful. I'm like, my gosh. Gee, how many batteries would it take to power up if I had solar bringing the gospel on my motorcycle idea instead of strapping a generator back and having to tow gasoline in the nose of a generator and something breaking down? There's always one more thing to break. So I came back like a mad scientist before. I just had this in my heart to do. And it's funny, you know, you can have something and you can have people that are just not buy into. You know, the first one that said, that'll never work, was the pastor that led the trip to Florida. And it was funny because, you know, he was very knowledgeable. He knows more about computers than he forgot more than I'll probably ever know. But his knowledge had expired. He was going on 20 years ago. Now, these components, they're so efficient, you know, the technology. So you could use it. I thought, you know, how many ever batteries I'd strap on the bike I would. I could do it with one deep cycle marine battery through Tesla from that. It'll work. So I got to get it from here to here, and then down on paper, I was like a mad scientist, figuring out, I'm a carpenter. I knew nothing about solar energy, electricity, nothing. God just puts this vision in my heart. And you know, this is really what my heart to share. Because, you know, God will give you a dream and a vision. And the biggest thing is hearing God's voice and following that. And it took years to develop this thing. So finally, I shipped it. On my way back up, when I came here first, it was already on a boat. It took a couple months to get over it. And this trip, hopefully the video will work. I had a GoPro donated to the ministry before we left, so I filmed. Now, I'm technologically challenged, so hopefully this works. I guess there's computer formats, and you know this probably more than me, but like languages, and one language, Apple and Windows don't always work together, so hopefully we got it to work. I don't know. Well, it wasn't exactly a video as we could enjoy with our technology normally. I'll try the next time I come and have it down pat. That was the first one ever that I did, so obviously it's not in Windows language. But that's probably one of the biggest things you can learn on a mission trip is flexibility. When something goes wrong, what do you do next?
New plan.
So we did have a plan B, and we have some slides of, just in case it didn't work, which it didn't exactly work. But so I made have the bike there. You know, like I said, it took a couple years to develop it, to build it, and then get it there. Here is the bike. We loaded it up in the back of this pickup truck, and we drove north. And we went about 12, 14 hours north in the back of this Toyota with the bike. There it is there, the bike with the solar panel on the roof. And what it does is powers up the backpack. So when you got the challenges of getting into the hard-to-get-to places, the motorbike gets you there, and it's in a girl. And then when you get there, speaking the language, the Jesus film, and working with the local church interpreters solves that problem. And then there's another great problem when you get into the outlying regions, and that's illiteracy. You know, if you're to hand out 100 Bibles, maybe 20 people can read them, maybe 25, maybe 15, who really knows? So if you have audio and audiovisual product, that's where Jesus film is amazing. It speaks their language. And then where there's no power, now you've got a portable power source. So you're setting up, I've got a portable screen, and just like this little speaker by the drum set, two powered 150-watt speakers, all working efficiently off that battery bank. I only knock down like 20 or 30% of the 100% power, and it charges back up by the sun, even on a cloudy day, which I didn't know. On a cloudy day, the UV rays, it still charges at about 5% per hour. But so you can bring the gospel. So we were able to plant one church. This is a typical home in the northern region. The grass thatched roofs, and they make the mud. This is mud type hut. This is, we built while we were there. We built onto Pastor Simone's home. This is laying up the blocks on the side of. So now when I come, it's a garage for the motorbike to drive in. It's in there now, secured. But then there's also room for me to stay. Land was donated in January, and I'm going to build a missions house. And God's given us the vision to do a lot more. These were the students we ministered to there. You can't quite see too well, but in the back is the motorbike. It's about 150 students or so. It's a student-initiated, student-run, student-governed Bible study after school. It's great. So we came and spoke. And during that meeting, the first meeting, the Lord really spoke to me on helping get a Bible school for them there. Now, none of us are ordained pastors, even the pastor over the 15 churches I'm working with up there. We're all kind of like lay pastors and ministers. But, you know, Peter wasn't a graduate of the Galilee Bible School, I don't think, either. I don't think they had one. But, you know, the call of God in your life, you don't need to be a graduate. You know, and what I like to share with people around the world is that God wants to speak to you and use everybody. Nobody on the bench. Everybody in the game. And no matter where you're at, what you do, God wants to use you to impact somebody or many people. And that's the thing. This whole ground, there's the picture of the church at Dundun that we planted. In the back, you can barely see, it's the screen set up with a movie on it, and we had lights. The best we could do was pull up the lights, and we got a nighttime picture. But that was an amazing night. I finally got out. It was pretty incredible to get out there and finally plant the church, and we intend to plant more. And it was the rainy season, so it was hard to get around even with a bike. This was the land that was donated, and it's away from the city. It's up on a big hill, and there's where we'll build. Although we built down in the city on Pastor Simone's house, because we started that project in January, and we completed it when I was here this last time. So this will be an ongoing thing that I work on. So that when you ever decide to come to Africa or Pasadena, you'll be able to come and bring a team, and it'll be great. And the work continues. You know, that's the thing, missions work. If you're doing something that can't continue when you're not there, then what have you done? I mean, because at the end of the day, it's the Africans ministry, the Africans, the Indians ministry, yeah. It's the Philippines ministry, the Filipinos. Because everybody needs a local pastor. And it's a body of Christ effort. So what we're doing there is continuing on. This morning, as we're here, they have already concluded their service about 5 hours ahead of us. So that church in Dundun, now there's a church there. It's been going on for 3 or 4 weeks. And it's just so exciting, you know. But I just want to encourage you. Started from a dream. It started from really, you know, hearing God's voice. And I didn't get a full download of what to do and steps to take, but you know, as God gave me a step to do, you know, I did that, and then He would lead a little more, and you know, sometimes we wait for the skies to open and God to give us this whole big thing to do when it's one step at a time, you know. And I didn't know for you know, 20 years as a Christian, you could really hear God's voice. But you know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice," and He said, I love what He said to His disciples in John. They call the upper room discourse. Before He was getting ready to go to heaven, they didn't really understand even what was going to happen. He said, "I got so much more to tell you about them." Paraphrasing. But He said, "You guys can't bear it right now. You can't handle it. But it's okay. It's a good thing I'm going away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He will tell you what He hears." So that's your first clue. The Holy Spirit's going to talk to you. He's going to tell you what He hears from Jesus or the Father. As He hears it, the Holy Spirit will tell you. And then he says, He will show you things to come. Okay, so how is the Holy Spirit going to tell you what He hears? How is the Holy Spirit going to show you things to come? Well, the Holy Spirit speaks in many different ways. Through His Word, sometimes the words just jump out of the Bible. You just have revelation specific for where you're at. It's like amazing. Other times, you may have a prophetic dream, like Joseph. I mean, there's many dreams in the Bible where, you know, that God has spoken to me many times. God speaks through circumstances, through people, prophetically. You may get a word of prophecy come to boom, just reach your man. or God may speak to you audibly. God does speak audibly to people. Sometimes in a still, quiet voice, sometimes in a louder than quiet voice. And I've had God speak to me all these different ways, but I want to wet your whistle, because God wants to speak to each one of us. And so many times a key thing in that is our quiet time, our devotion time, when we take that time to still ourselves. You know, in our culture, it's almost driven into us, multitasking. You know, the more you do, the better. You know, and we get so busy, we don't hear God. It's not that God isn't speaking or want to speak. We're so busy, we can't hear him if he did. Sometimes. And I was so guilty of that. But I just, my encouragement to all. And this is for around the world. I share the same thing. See, God wants to speak to you. God has a plan for you, a specific plan. There's people that you can reach, I can't reach. There's people you can reach, you can't reach. And God wants to use each one of us in a unique, special way. And I would just encourage you, you know, he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And this is radical what he gives me to do. It doesn't look like anything that I know anybody else is doing, but that's okay. I don't have to be Billy Graham. I don't have to be Reinhard Bonnke. You don't have to be me. You know, what God gives you to do, it might not look like anything anyone else has done, but it's invalidated in the least bit, you know. And I would just encourage you, dream big. We were sharing earlier scripture, one of my favorite scriptures. God wants to do far above what you can ask, imagine, or think. So think big, dream big, expect big, and watch God supersede your prayers and your requests. And I just encourage you in the Lord. God is so good. And thank you for letting me share. And I know that some of you were praying for me while I was gone. Every time I go to trip, I think, God, you cannot do that. Was the best trip ever. There's no way. And he outdoes every time. So I'm just going to believe God for greater degrees every time. And he keeps doing it. So. But thank you so much. And God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad you came today?
Always.
Always. Amen. Okay, our opening scripture this morning. Yes, we are going to have the word from Psalm 138 and verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Some very interesting revelations that the Holy Spirit seems to bring out if you know, like Lou was saying, if you take the time to let the Holy Spirit speak to us or illuminate us, if you will, or to bring some light to the Word, because that's what He graciously does. He said, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your Word above all your name. And this is a very interesting scripture in that, number one, David said, I will worship towards your holy temple. And here he is, the king of Israel, and where kings rule and reign, and they can basically do whatever they want to do with anyone that they choose to within their kingdom. But he knew that there was a higher authority. And so any praise or any worship that would amount to anything, he knew where to direct it to. And he didn't spend his time praising himself or worshiping himself or boasting of his position or anything like that. He came to acknowledge that the one who was truly worthy of our worship is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he directed his worship and his adoration and his praise to the one who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, for your loving kindness and your truth. Oftentimes you see the word loving kindness, it's a kind of a combination of two words. It could be kindness as a noun and loving as an adjective to modify the noun, but I don't get into all that old high school stuff. But it gives you a glimpse of, there's a very tender and personal side of the Lord. And until a person gets saved, it's really hard to see him other than God. Or if you're very religious, you might say, God. and you have to go to school to learn to say it like that. However, when you come to know him as your father, then you see that loving kindness and those tender mercies expressed in his love for each one of us. And you get to experience that personally. And it's not something that you just talk about. It's very tangible and it's very real. And to religious people, he's God, but to you, he's Abba Father, dear Daddy God. And so that brings a relationship into the picture, which is very different, because now it's an inner relationship and not just that he's out there someplace in the cosmos and I don't know where he is, but I know it's got to be a long ways away because, you know, it takes 186,000 miles a second for the sun to reach the earth, and that's a light year. But it's not like that with him. He's very present. He's here today. And so, moving along, for your loving kindness and your truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. But to say that he is the truth, and David is praising him, that now he knows the true, the only one and true living God, and it was the Holy Spirit that reveals those things to us. And then he said, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now this morning, unbeknown to me, because I got this, Jay, when I was out at Lake George with you the other day, about how the Lord magnifies his word above his name. Ken brought some songs about the name of the Lord and exalting his name. I mean, we started off with one, but that he honors his word or magnifies his word even above his name. And David, from the position of a king, it wasn't uncommon for kings to use their position or use their authority to dictate and rule over and lord over the people and not even really honor their word. But God honors his word, even to the point where he puts his word above his reputation or to protect his character, to protect his integrity, to protect his godliness, if you will. He is God. To protect his nature, to protect his character, and to protect his authority, he honors his word even above his name. And so there's a lot more that could be said about that, but what I've received a lot about this is the fact that how important that is for us also, that we honor our word even above our name, even above our reputation, above our character. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't be telling people stuff and then you never follow through, and don't come up with some lame-brained excuse that all that fell through and that you couldn't keep your word. Be really careful about keeping your word. That is not only when you forgive, but when you keep your word, you'll reflect the very character and nature of your Father that dwells in you by his Spirit. It's so important that we keep our word, because how quick you lose your reputation when you, everywhere you go, people say, yeah, I never believe what they say anymore because they never keep their word. And then all of a sudden, you're trashed. It's like going to a restaurant and all the waitstaff know if you're welcome in there or not by the tip you leave. Oh God, here comes old, that cheap rascal, he left me 50 cents last week and ran up a $100 bill. You know, people know you and I by our word and by our actions, but be like the Father and honor your word even to protect your name and your reputation. And if we don't get any further than that today, that's a lot to go home with and tweak some things if you're the kind of person that does not keep your word and honor your word. David knew that. He expressed it through the writing, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. And only you and I know if he's talking about us today. So, with that in mind, take a few minutes, greet each other, meet our wonderful guests and visitors this morning, but if you're in the house, you're part of the family. Thank you. Time to pray. The name of Jesus is above discouragement. It's above despair. It's above hopelessness. It's above helplessness. The name of Jesus is above every sickness. The name of Jesus is above every disease. The name of Jesus is above every infirmity. The name of Jesus is above every foul thought that comes in our minds sometimes and tries to tear us down and bring discouragement or speak against what God is doing in our lives. And the name of Jesus is the name that we always go to the Father in for whatever needs that might be here represented today. Preaching's over. It's time to release the anointing. It's time to release the power of Christ in our lives and receive those things that God has for us today. There's so much. This room has been jam-packed full of all that Christ is and all that He represents. And no one should leave here today without receiving the breakfast of champions, Jesus Christ, and all that He represents, all that He is, all the daily nourishment that you need. And if you just came today to just come and worship and fellowship with us, but you want to go with the blessing, oh my, just go with the blessing. Go with the blessing. But if you have needs, don't not go home without having us pray with you. Here's your last chance. I don't do altar calls while I just stand in the gap with you.